All right, everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today, I am super excited to bring you guys a seasoned entrepreneur with over 19 years of experience building and running businesses across Nigeria and Canada. They have a first degree in industrial relations and personnel management, and they have successfully established ventures in various sectors, including the agrochemical industry, pest management, automobile sales and parts industry, logistics and procurement. Their business interest spans both Africa and North America, where they continually seek innovative solutions to complex industry challenges. Beyond their entrepreneurial endeavors, they are dedicated to charitable causes that promote the education of the human mind and liberation of souls. They're a devoted family man, a proud father of four lovely children, a wonderful husband to a beautiful wife, and that's so true. He's another guest we're having on in this series that we call the More Civil Entrepreneurial Chronicles. And in this episode, we discuss his journey to entrepreneurship to actually pick his brain on operating multiple businesses as an immigrant entrepreneur. As you know, for many immigrants, starting a business is not just about financial independence. It's a means of creating opportunities, solving unique problems, and contributing to both their host and home countries, whose policies and settings might be vastly different from one another. Despite these challenges, such as navigating complex legal frameworks, accessing funding, and overcoming cultural and systemic barriers, diasporan entrepreneurs, they bring resilience, adaptability, and fresh perspective to the business world. And we hope to capture some of that in this episode today. Their ventures also often bridge gaps between markets, introduce new ideas, and also foster those global connections. Throughout their journeys, these entrepreneurs will define success, proving that with determination, strategic thinking, and the right support, businesses can thrive anywhere in the world. Please, everyone, join me to give a special welcome to my very good friend, Mr. Chris Chime, on this podcast for today. Hi.
Hi, Prof.
Look at all of
good
that.
Good to see you again.
Look at all of that repertoire. Wow, only you, one person. Only you.
I can't believe I will have all these things you are reading out.
I'm sure it's just a slice of your great life, but thank you. And I was just thinking about it, Chris, can you remember the first time we met?
In fact, I remember when...
it was 2009, right? So,
wow.
Yeah, man, we're getting older. This was 16 years ago. So Chris and I and then 17 other people, we called ourselves the Corinthians 19. We were Covenant Nation. We used to be Covenant Christian Center under the guidance of Pastor Podjo Emade. We were the pioneers, the first missionaries that were sent to Sierra Leone then to help, do different things. I was in the healthcare. I think Chris was, I was architecture, and I don't know what your role was, but we had different roles to really help get things started after the civil war that plagued the country because of their proximity to Liberia. So that's why I met Chris for the first time. Anyways, it's funny how we've Africa, and then we're back in North America now, but I'm still having those touches in Africa. So I'm just curious to know, we start on this podcast, we like to think about how our foundation, especially things we're exposed to as a child, may have shaped our current life right now. And I know that growing up, most of us don't see those threads or those connections, but they finally make sense, right? So I'm curious to know, how did you grow up, and how do you think your upbringing has really shaped your perspective on life and business?
For me, I didn't grow up in, originally I'm from the southeast of Nigeria, a tribe known as the Igbos, of which once you mention the Igbo tribe anywhere in the world, people associate you with business.
Yeah.
Yes, so, and I'm very, very happy to have come from that tribe because it's entrepreneurship is just something you get to see. You turn to the right, to the left, everywhere. There's someone, an uncle somewhere, a brother somewhere, he's doing something. Okay, however, for me, my parents were more of, what would I put it now? They so to say, you say civil servants, okay? People who believe that, you know, go to school, have a first degree, get a job, you know, do the normal thing. And all that. My mom was, you know, she retired as a matron. My dad worked in Nigerian Railway before he retired and all that. So I saw firsthand, you know, it was like education, get education, do this. It was just like a linear movement. Okay, so for me, and of which I told that part, but I remember very well when I was, I think when I was 7 years old. So I saw a charcoal and I thought about it. I said, people can bag this thing and turn it to money. I never saw anybody doing it. Trust me. I didn't see anybody doing it. I remember going to gather some coal. You know, I got a charcoal somewhere. I was trying to hoard it to see if I could sell it to somebody who needs it. But you see, for me, now that when you get into entrepreneurship, when you reflect, you think about it and say, you're looking for something that turned on the light on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I remember those days. Every time I see something, whenever I see people rushing for something, I'm like, wait a minute. Or I see people treat something they treat it with levity, treat it as if it doesn't really matter and all that. For me, I'm always looking for the gold in the mine. Like, there has to be something here. Some people will need this thing, you know? So you're looking at that. So I had all those kind of moments. Mm. So for me, in terms of value system, what has family life helped me to do? You know, growing up, values. Number one, whatever you do with anyone, ensure that their own labor is not in your own house. In other words, you know, be upright in your dealings with people. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Match all your rhetoric with action. I learned that at a young age. Match your rhetoric with action. In other words, if you say you're going to be somewhere, you know, you're going to meet with a group of people, no excuses. Ensure you do it. Ensure you apply yourself to it. Ensure you just in your day-to-day, you know, dealing with your fellow man, just ensure that you keep it straight. Be upright. It doesn't matter whether you win, whether you lose. Just keep it straight. Okay. So it's very important. So for me, these are the things that helped me in my growing up. Integrity was at the front burner. And that's why to date, I've never dated anybody in business who has any issue with me as my integrity. Never. I can say that anyway. Okay. So these are the things that have helped me while growing up.
Thank you for sharing that. I loved your values on being a man of integrity, a person of integrity, like letting your, you know, rhetorics and your actions match, and making sure that you also, your dealings with people, you're very upright. Those are really great words to live by. So can you just make it clear, like from your family, how many kids growing up, and are mom and dad still with us, and what was your position in the family?
Okay, fine. So for me, I'm the last born of the family.
You don't give last born energy, right? Or maybe you do. Maybe you do. Yeah.
I don't. My wife used to tell me that she does not envy my kind of last born. So.
But you know, last borns, they can be quite chimeric. They kind of fill in the gap. So depending on the energy your older ones are giving, maybe they allow you so many things. Some last borns tend to be like first, but depending on just the energy they get, and it depends on the gap also between the siblings as well. That also can, yeah.
That's true. So, family of four boys.
Wow, okay, all boys.
Boys. Of which I'm the last. And for me being the last, you know, when you are the last among.
What powerful then?
When you are the last among, you know, three other older ones, you know what it will mean.
Wow.
That means that really, for me, it also helped to shape my upbringing because you have to stand your ground to get what you want. That's the truth. Because you're the last born, people who assume you don't really know anything. You have to depend on us and all that. I broke out of all those things at a very young age.
Yeah.
So I broke out. I grew up with a lot of independent mind. I was very independent minded. I don't like to lean on anybody. Okay. So my parents you know, they are both late now. So mom died 2018, died 2021. So but they were quite old. Okay, so they got to a ripe age. So I thank God for every moment spent with them. So that's it.
Sorry to hear. And what's the gap between your oldest sibling and you?
Oh, that should be... That's almost around... It's 8 years.
Okay, not too bad. All right. So you've given us. And you grew up in Lagos, right? Just to be clear.
Okay, I grew up in. I would say I grew up in two places. First, okay. My very young age, from 0 to 10.
Yeah.
I grew up in Enugu. Okay. So then from 11 years all till my adulthood. Grew up in Lagos.
In Lagos, okay.
So invariably, you can say I'm mixed blend. Yes, exactly.
Now, so, in Enugu, were you in the city or were you in the more of the interior parts?
Okay, partly in the city at some certain age, earlier age, then at some point in the rural area.
Okay.
Okay, but I was right for like 2-3 years. Okay. And that's it.
Yeah. All right. So, let's just talk about your educational pathway. So you studied IRPM, or what people call industrial relations and personal management. What inspired you to go study that, and how has that been serving you to date?
There's no inspiration. No inspiration. there's no inspiration.
That was the only course you had to pick at least to enter school. Was that it?
Yes, there is no inspiration. Nothing inspiring anything. Okay. It's just saying that, okay, I needed to have a BSc, and then, okay, what do I do now? Okay, let me pick up what's available. That's it. And just get in and do it. Okay?
Yeah.
So there's really no inspiration. Nothing. It's
just what school was that in, Chris? I have questions about that, which we'll talk about when we talk about young entrepreneurs. Oh, Lasso. That's a very good school. Okay.
So there's really no inspiration. It's just get to do one thing and just get going. It's nothing.
Inspiration aside, which you say you didn't have, if you were to think about, like, condense those 4 years you spent in school, what anything that you think you learned from those times that is still serving some purpose in your life to date?
Well, don't forget, I'll put it this way. Even though I was in school, I was also doing business.
Entrepreneur, of course.
Okay. Yes,
even
so
when we went to Alan, you are still doing business, because I remember you. You can't take the business out of the man. He's a businessman.
Yes, so because in my mind, my classmates, they used to be like, dude, what are you doing here? By now, you should be in the next meeting. What are you doing? So in my mind, I'm like, calm down. We're here for. So anyway, That's it. There was no inspiration. It's just get a BSc, have and a BSc attached to your name, and then get doing what you're doing. Okay, because sometimes I remember sitting there in the classroom and they are saying some things. I'm wondering, what's this relation? What am I going to do with this thing?
Okay.
You know?
Knowing what you know now, right? And given how they say hindsight is 20/20, if you could go back again and redo those formative years of your life when it comes to your schooling, what would you do differently?
Now, what would I do differently? Very simple. Immediately, I found out what I want to do in life. I will look for... See, for me, this is the definition of education. Education is this. Go and get your mind educated based on the things that you've come to internalize, that this is how I want to give value to the world. Okay? So, I'd rather look for courses that has to deal with what I'm doing, okay, and I will apply myself to it. Now, why did I say this? I remember very well, 2012, I went to South Africa. There's this school called Pest Management Academy or something like that. So now it was based on what I was doing at that time. So I decided to go and learn more. I wanted to understand about the pests. I wanted to understand about, you know, this ecosystem called pest control industry. So I went. Now, in fact, for the first time of my life, I can tell you that class, everything I did in that program, I could relate with it very well.
Mm.
It was very apt. I was very intentional with the classes. I could I had all scenario questions because these are things I was interacting with. Okay. So nobody, I wasn't forcing myself to go. I was looking forward to the next day. So that's what I would do differently.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do anything for societal appreciation or bandwagon thing. Oh, you have a BSc, you don't have a BSc, you have a master's. You don't. Those things will mean nothing. Mm. That's the truth.
Mm.
Okay. Now, it means something if you are in that industry. For example, if you're going to be a doctor. Okay?
Yes.
You can just come out now and say, I'm
and
a doctor.
And learn to show up from a doctor down the street.
That's it. Okay. So you have to go through that because you have to be
training,
taught what to do.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to be, depending on the type of entrepreneur you want to be, okay. So for me, I would rather go and do the things in that line, sit with it, because it will make more impact. I will take things, I will glean on things from there. I can then, you know, work on it and see how I can apply it to what I'm doing and become better. Because for me, the concept of education should be this. Education should make you better in what you are doing.
Mm.
It should give you a certain level of leverage. Okay? So if you just have information overload and things that have no business with you, I don't really see why you should be doing it.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
I feel like that's the balance message. Even as someone in education, I endorse that. However, I also want to add a caveat. There's that premise that we're thinking that everybody knows what they want to do. This is why I feel like knowing yourself would definitely help you take this advice. You know, I don't believe school is for everybody. As a matter of fact, I've had a couple of conversations with some of my students who were thinking about dropping out of PhD programs, but they were kind of worried about what their family members would say, what, you know. And at the end of the day, they realized that I actually don't want to do a PhD. You know, and I had to let them know it's okay to feel that way. Like, if you do think it's going to serve your purpose, you can leave and just master out, get your master's, and then go on an intern, go on a, get a job in an industry, and then start building your skill set from there. And it worked perfectly for them. I've had, you know, a couple of students have those conversations with them. But if you don't know what you want to do, I still believe in the value of formal education. Like, try out different things, you know, and then formalize what you want to do. Use that to serve your purpose. But if you know you're very good to your hands, you want to study, you know, car mechanics, for example, if a school environment isn't providing you that, go to a vocational school, you know, HVAC schools, plumbing schools. Those things, I think they should be more emphasized, not at the expense of universities, but they should be equally as emphasized, you know, like paths to university is not for everybody. But as long as you know what you want to do and you are able to, you know, figure out the pathway, then see how your university degree or lack of it thereof can help serve that purpose. That'll be my own way of, you know, balancing your message.
That's fine. I completely agree with you. And again, this is what I would like to see. You see, now, whose fault is it to find out what you're supposed to do? Whose responsibility is it? What you're supposed to do at an early age? Don't forget that the way educational system is structured in, let's say, let me not say Africa, because
Nigeria,
Africa is not a country.
That's not right.
Africa is a continent.
We speak for a lot of Nigeria,
we have to start, so let's talk about Nigeria, okay? Yeah. The way education is structured is, it doesn't really give you that room for you to make up your mind in what you want to do, okay? I say this because my daughter is going into, what's it called, senior high, right? So on the open day, I went with her and we were doing classroom, we were visiting each classrooms and visiting each unit of, what's it called, where they are going to have different skill set. So now I can tell that this is the missing link, because all of us, let me say all of us are going to school in Nigeria, programmed, I would say a lot of us, at 95%, programmed to say, listen, you finish your elementary school, your primary school, your secondary school. They start telling you from when you were in
university,
telling you, not even university, when you were in, you just get into secondary school.
Yeah.
They tell you, listen, you're going to be a lawyer.
Yeah, you're going to be an engineer. Yeah.
You're going to be this. Yeah. So then I remember, you know, finish up your junior high, you want to go into senior high. The next thing they're telling you, listen, you're going to be a doctor, so you're going to do sciences.
Sciences, yeah.
Nobody cares whether you understand it. Nobody cares whether it has to do with you, because your parents just want you to read those four courses that, you know, people...
Engineer, that, lawyer, doctor, have, what's the other one?
Yes, that's it.
Nursing, whatever.
So they want you to be able to do it. Once you do those things, so that's also part of the problem.
Yeah.
A lot of people cannot find their purpose at an early age.
Yeah.
Some of us who were hanging around people who were willing to, you know, to
mentor,
give
you.
Us a trial and allow us to do some certain things.
Yeah.
We're so blessed and we're eternally grateful to those people.
Mm.
Like we say, do this, do this. They helped you to turn on the light on the inside.
Yeah.
So if you don't know it, it's, to me, we have to be very cautious to say, you can try your hand on many things. Now, understand, I'm not against education. I'm only saying that you have to be educated based on what you are doing.
Yes, yes, yes.
You have to be educated based on what you are doing.
Yeah.
If you're educated based on what you are doing, you are going to add value to society.
Yourself, yeah. And to yourself, invariably. Yeah.
And to yourself, okay?
Yeah.
Now, no one is a loss. If you are grouping in the dark in school, just doing anything. Now, education teaches you one thing. You know how to source for information. Okay? So education allows you to be able to know how to source for information. Because if you are in school, all those, you are doing this course, doing this one, it was true. It's like what he was doing, it was just casting light on your, it was just trying to put light, turn on the, you know, the bulb, but just that you are so confused. Every room you entered, light bulb came up, some were dark. So right now, you can tell that if you sit down, you can search for information. If I want to check something about medical line, I can search for it. If I want to check something about this, education allows you to do those things as informal education. So that's it.
No, I don't think anyone is going to leave this conversation thinking you're anti-education. You've dropped some really powerful gems about making it serve your purpose and educating yourself along that line of interest. So yeah, I mean, I don't see any argument against that. So thanks for that. So you were in Nigeria and then you got married. Congratulations. You found your wife. Yay. And then what precipitated your move to Canada? Yeah.
Very interesting question. You know, I always say to people, I said that Nigeria was and is good to me. I did not leave Nigeria I didn't leave Nigeria in the mindset, I want to go to greener pasture. I want to go and hustle. No, that was not it. Okay. So, because why do I say that? Being in Nigeria, running businesses, doing well for myself, I have no problem with Nigeria. However, as we were, as the years were coming by, and at first, our first daughter, second, third, then you start looking at certain things and said, the world that there are discussions on more serious things, artificial intelligence, different as robotic engineering. So you sit down, you say to yourself, wait, my children are going to play with those children in the same space in the next 15, 20 years. So where I am right now, can it give me, the kind of future that I want for my children?
Mm.
So that's what prompted the drive to say, okay, let's move to Canada and all that. It's not out of the fact that it was not based on, let me become better economically. It wasn't based on that.
Okay, it was as a matter of sacrifice, fact, right?
Yes, that's it. It was a huge one. And I can still say it's a huge one for me to take that move. Because don't forget, you are now leaving the known to the unknown. Okay? You're leaving the known to the unknown. Already in Nigeria, I already had a system running. I knew, I was now building layers on the particular level of success. I was building another one to it. Then you had to now leave all that and say, okay, you're going to a new land where obviously, I knew I was going to start it all over again.
All over again, yeah.
But I did something for myself.
What's that?
It's mindset shift.
Okay.
I did not come into Canada and start feeling, oh no, I'm a CEO.
Big man.
No. I said to myself, the same way you started it from nothing, where you're coming from, it is time to start it again. So it made me such that when we came in, I had to do something saying that, and this is what I advise people. I say, see, if you are moving from one country and coming to a new one, no matter how much you have, try and understand something that if you go into, except you have so much money to throw around to do experiments, to say, you know what, I'll buy this franchise. If it doesn't work, I'll go back to what I know. Okay? If you don't have that kind of money, pretend as if you are broke. Because you need to understand the people. You need to understand the culture. You need to understand the environment. They're two different things.
Yep. Very different things.
So it's very important that you pretend as if you don't have that money, even if you do, so that you can go through the process of growth. That's the reason some people will come with so much money where they are coming from.
And then,
because they feel that, oh, it's the same environment. I'm going to buy Kentucky franchise. You first realizing that the money you thought you had that was so much would not even buy you the franchise. And even if you did, even if you eventually do, what will happen is this. You forgot the fact that you're going to pay royalty, you're going to pay for advert, you're going to pay for this. Then where you're coming from, you're not used to paying those. You grew by the ranks before you went to those things. Suddenly you're like, no, this franchise is not giving me money. This franchise is not doing anything. Because you took a wrong leap. You don't do that. You don't do that. So for me, that's always what I used to say to people. I say, listen, keep the money that you have. Go and take up a job.
Learn the laws of the land and the people, the culture, the environment.
Yes,
because that's education in its own. Yeah.
Yes, it helped me. Because for me, when you're an entrepreneur, you take up a job in a new land, what it will do to you is this. It is not just the money. As a matter of fact, it's not really the money. That's the truth.
Free experience, okay?
You want to learn something with the people. You want to be able to understand how they think. You want to see, because you see, when you're coming first, you're coming with this mindset, oh my God, this big institution, where am I going to start?
Uh-huh.
You understand? But you know, the thing that happens is, as you start interacting with the people at workplace, just say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm smarter. I know something, I'm smarter. Then confidence start coming. Then you say to yourself, wait a minute, I've done these things that I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, what role are they giving me? This is nothing compared to what we've done. You get what I mean? So automatically that will help you to turn on something on the inside, to realize that you are now in that environment whereby if you allow what you know, if you will work with it, that environment will reward you.
Thanks for that. I feel like that's a critical step, especially as immigrants, we need to understand. And I think by even serving as that purpose of going back and not going back, but finding an employment and then you can also learn what it's like to be on the other side, because you're planning to have your own business. You know, how do you ensure workplace dynamics are good? How do you ensure worker satisfaction? And then even some of the laws around taxes and protecting yourself. Because from coming from Nigeria, so many of those things, we don't have those solid infrastructure in place when it comes to business. Here, one wrong move, you can end up in jail for the rest of your life. So, again, you're not able to go back to school to learn the know-how. It's educating yourself outside of the walls of the school. So, thanks for that reminder. I'll be tempted to ask you, what was your very first business? But I imagine that you told me that it was that cool thing you did when you were younger, trying to hold coals. But you had a business that you started in Nigeria, right? Can you walk us through how you got that started? And moving to Canada, how you're able to, like, you know, because I know you have your own business in Canada as well. Like, what those two things serve, and how you're able to bridge those two markets? Because again, Nigerian market, Canadian market, vastly different. How you able to be the common factor between those two entities?
Good. Very good question. So this is the thing I always say to entrepreneurs. Whatever you are doing, no matter where you are doing it, you are acquiring a skill that you can use globally. So the only difference is this, because you see, I can tell you about these two words, the same human being. That's who they are. Same people. The same way you start out a service and you're talking to your friends and they tell you, oh, that's nice, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. And you're wondering, why didn't they call you? Okay? Because everybody is doing what? Everybody's trying to check you out. That, are you really serious in what you say you want to do? So for me, what's the first business I started out doing in Nigeria? I started a pest control company. Okay? So now, how did I get into a pest control company? That's the question. I remember in 25 years ago, I was attending a local church. Okay? So then I have a senior friend who owns a pest control company. As at that time, he was not even doing it. So he opened a company and then he used to hire a consultant. So the consultant is the one that will go and do the jobs for him. So then I started working with him. Okay? I was more particular about acquiring skill than any. I was more particular about it. I was very much focused on skill acquisition. I wasn't really interested in how much you were going to pay me. So when I joined him, so what I did was, every time that consultant came around to do the job, I used to understudy him. I used to ask him so many questions. So along the line, the consultant realized I had interest in that profession because I had too many questions. So they started giving me materials and all that. So that's how I understudied him, started studying those materials at different time. Then one day I said to the company, listen, I can do this. You shouldn't come. Don't bring the consultant. So I brought value to the table, saved them huge tons of money that they were paying. Okay? I remember the first job that I did one time, there was an oil field that we needed to fumigate. This oil company had locations in different parts of Nigeria. So, and I said to them, I am going to do this job. You don't need any consultant. So that's how I started. But you know, and I did that, there was no complaint. Everybody was wowed. So I worked there for a while and built awesome relationship with the owner. And that's how I left. Because when I was done, I said to them I was leaving. Okay? They wanted me to stay, but unfortunately I had to go learn something else. So now I'll say this. When I needed to start my business, I had to go back to that industry because as I left the industry, my heart did not leave. Okay? I remember that company, they were still calling me to come and help them do some things even after I left. So it was just automatic that I was going to start with pest control. So that's how I started, pest control. And I got into it, yes. So I got into it and then had to go to South Africa for training so that I needed to, because I was in a Nigerian environment, you need to have certificate for everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had to also go, and even though I was very sound in it, but I needed to, because I wasn't, in Nigeria, there was no formal school where you were going to go and attend pest control.
Okay? Is that one of the gaps we need to address in education? Do they have that now?
Yes. There is still no formal school, but I have a professional colleague who runs a pest control training school.
Academy, okay. Nice.
Yes, he runs it as an individual. So it's not, there's no anything that put it through accreditation
and all that. Mm.
Yes. So he runs it as an individual. He goes, to what's it called? British Pest Control Association is a member. He goes there for trainings, come back, see how he can. It's just his way of giving back to, so that he can have a structured system. So of which I believe that the government should encourage the guy in what he's doing.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. And I did that from there, from pest control services. Now, another thing again is this, as an entrepreneur, you've got to understand something, that especially when you're in the service rendering business,
okay,
you have to put your ears down to hear the complaint that your customers may have with your services. So while we were servicing our customers,
Nigerians just left the chat room.
So while we were servicing our customers, Then I noticed something, there was a trend. So when we do pest control, we treat individual houses. So the customer will call back after 1 month and say, I'm seeing some small, we call them Jamaica roaches, but tiny roaches. Mm. So we'll go back there, we'll go and treat again. Then they say, I'm still seeing this thing. So that bugged me for a long time. Mm. I was carrying it as a burden in my heart. I needed to get to the root of this thing. Okay? So, long story short, we found a product in China that we could use to control roaches. Mm. Okay? Long story short, we put up a factory in Nigeria where we started producing that product from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's how we're able to meet the need of that complaint.
Mm.
The factory was born.
So basically you had done the job, but then the chemical you're using wasn't catching the tiny roaches.
Exactly.
So you figure that, and then you now control, you seize the production line, by the way, by creating... Yes. Oh, look at that.
Exactly. So we created something that is odorless that they could feed on. So we created a bait, okay? So we had to create this bait. We just put it in different places. We used it for the first customer, wiped them away completely. 6 months, they have not seen nothing. In fact, somebody called me and said, oh boy, the way you did this, your production, are you sure you're going to be making money?
Money like this, because every 6 months.
Because it's been more than 6 months, I haven't seen roaches. Okay. But again, don't forget, that's where the integrity, it comes to play. I said, I'm not going to change the quality.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it like that. I am sure that a nation of over 200 million people, I'm very sure that if he controls roaches for you for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
some other people still have the problem. So you keep recycling till we get there.
But what you're losing, and I use that word carefully, what you're losing in those, the time lag that you... Because now it's longer, right? You're gaining in happy customers who refer you out. And that's how you keep business going. The goodwill.
Exactly.
The integrity.
That's it.
Then quick box,
That's it.
Yeah.
So now, marinates, okay, now coming to Canada, okay, how did you suddenly decide to... People think you just suddenly started a company. It's not suddenly.
Okay. Because what you're doing in Canada is different from what you're doing in... So I'm wondering why you didn't expand that to Canada. So I want to hear more.
Now, I will explain to you. Okay. I remember coming, before I came here, I was studying around pest control industry in Canada, the weather, the this, the that. Now I was studying around those things. Then I went, I checked, I said, how much are technicians being paid who are working in Canada in pest control? Because they call pest control the applicators. Some countries say applicators, America say technician, Canada also says technician. So how much are they paid? I realized pest control operator is paid like $17 an hour.
Mm.
Okay. In my mind, I'm like, this is not money. What is this? Okay. Now, aside that, again, I now looked at what is the entry point. There were too many rules. You have to go to this place to get a license. You have to do this one and that one. So in my mind, I'm like, after I get all this license, you mean if I work for a pest control company, I will earn $17 an hour? Say, this is not
Entrepreneur to share math in Lori.
Straight.
Entrepreneur has done the math in his head. That's what you said. Sorry.
This is not money. This is not money. Do you understand? Now, again, don't forget, because of also the seasonal... A lot of businesses in Canada too are like seasonal businesses. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah, because of the weather, climate, it gets cold.
Yeah, all those things. In the States, I don't
mind. Depending on the place you go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind buying a pest control company in the States. Mm. I don't mind. Because you have business all year round. Do you understand? And because when I see revenue that they are declaring annually is mind blowing. Do you understand? So, being here, so I looked at all the thing about pest control and all that, and I'm like, every environment has its own language. Mm. I don't think I want to sit with this here and make this kind of money. Okay, now I am still in the lookout. If I find a pest control that I want to sell, I don't mind buying. However, it has to come with very strong contracts. that runs all year round.
All year round, instead of the seasonal ones, yeah.
Yes, it's very important.
Okay.
So now, but again, I didn't go to logistics by accident. I have to explain that.
All right.
Because I remember when I left the first company where I worked, that was a pest control company. When I left there, I went to that one other place just for a few months, and I moved into logistics. So I was working for a company then that they were lifting, was a corporation product for Total. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was a field manager then. I was one managing those trucks, and also I've had experience when it comes to logistics. Okay. So coming here, the only thing I was not doing was I was looking for which was the entry point. I was also very careful because in North America, I tell people, no matter how your idea is, put it through the prism of litigation and ask yourself, you want to reduce, this is me personally, I may be biased, but I don't like doing business that has too many windows for to have litigation.
In a super litigious country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You understand? So, because, for example, culturally, you can do something in Nigeria and you say sorry. And it's a sorry, and everybody will go their way. You can't say sorry in North America.
Or go and call your brother or family members, come and beg.
Do you understand? A client can do something to you in Nigeria, he will say sorry. And then if you're not hearing, you hear, oh boy, we are begging God, he's hearing. We are not begging, you are not hearing. So for me, so it's very important that when I make choices of business in North America, I'm very, very particular about that. Yeah. I don't like business. I have too many, room for litigations. So, and I looked at the logistics. It's very clear. What do you do? Get insurance companies. Have insurance for what you do. If anybody is talking too much, point them to your insurance. They solve the problem. You go your way. Mm-hmm. Okay? Bearing that in mind, you too as an individual, that means that you also have to reduce your own error. Okay? So, which is very, on the ground of management, is very easy to manage. Okay, so that's the reason I chose what I'm doing today.
Mm.
And that's it. And in what I'm doing, it has been able to play out because I understand the China. Now, let me bring it back to the issue of when I came and I took up a job.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what job was that, by the way?
I took up a job in a distribution center.
Okay.
Working. Now, I will explain something to you, very powerful, what happened in that job. In this distribution center, a warehouse, okay, working. So I was in this warehouse, I was interfacing with the product when they come in, okay? I was interfacing with this product. Now, this thing turned on one light bulb. On the inside.
What, Bob?
I kept watching. I saw the product made in China. So now, two things. When I was working there, I remember one time, one Indian guy, or was a colleague, he asked me, he said, what are you doing here? I said, what do you mean by what am I doing here? He said, when you see somebody that knows more than what he's doing now, you will know.
Mm.
So for me, I laughed. I said, I'm here to work to earn.
Yeah.
Okay? But I was, in the actual sense, I was learning, I was trying to understand the people. So when I saw those products, made in China, my brain just connected. I said, me, I am OC China. I understand the Chinese market very well. I said, I can do these things. Do you understand? I said, I can do these things. So then but what it did for me was I went back to the Chinese market.
Yeah.
I said, if most of this product, difference would just be that here, things have to be regulated. Do you understand? So for me, I just said, okay, fine. Now the hurdle will be, how do I cross the hurdle? How do I go into that place where whatever I want to bring in now can be regulated? I said, if Mr. A got it, I can get it. So these are all the things that emboldened me. So not surprised that today we have a product on Amazon, okay? And like the earbud pod I'm talking with right now belongs to me. It's my product.
Mm.
Okay.
Nice.
So, and I was able to do these things because I saw firsthand. And that's why I said to them, I'm not looking for any position. I had colleagues who were just being to be manager. I said, I didn't want anything.
I just want to learn.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I did, and this role is the model I adopt. I come into a place, I have a time to exit.
See, that's important.
Yes,
you don't get too comfortable.
No, it's not possible. Because I know why, what I'm there to do. You know, I know what I'm there for. I have a time. I remember when I wanted to leave, my GM kept telling me, oh, have you changed your mind? Have you changed your mind? I said,
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. This is beautiful. And I mean, there's so many things we can tease out of your story. It's knowing when you're getting to something. Because I imagine that you being in a new country with, then you had three kids, right?
Yes, three.
And a wife. So like 5 mouths to feed, right? Including yourself. There's that pressure to keep putting food on the table. But at the risk of just being complacent and being too comfortable, you knew your exit time and you were not going to compromise on that because your target was on something bigger.
Exactly.
You know how hard that is to do, Chris? Because you know that in this Obodo America, Obodo Canada, bills will have to be paid. There's no family member coming to rescue you. No. That takes a lot of balls to stick to those goals and not let the fear of when is the next paycheck coming in, you know, get to you. And I feel like a lot of us get stuck in that cycle. We're not very comfortable where we are, but this is paying the bills. And you're just one paycheck away from being homeless. But there's something bigger, right? And so thank you for sharing that. Like, we need to, like, examine ourselves. In what ways are we shortchanging ourselves at the expense of not getting out of that comfort zone? That's what
the negative. And again, I must say this because, you see, some people may listen to this now and decide to say, okay, this guy, he had an exit plan and he decided to leave. It's not like that.
How can that be what they'll take out of this story? That's not what I tried to say, but explain yourself again.
No, I will explain it. See, life is layers upon layers. Do you understand? I have done something before coming. I have gone through the cycle of building a business. I understand what it entails. Like a friend of mine said something to me. He said, Chris, you know why you quickly settled down in this country? Why you have been able to make it in a very short time? He said, you know why? He said, number one, you do not select job. Every work, whatever you are given, you take it seriously. That's one. Secondly, he said that everything that they ask you to do, whatever, whether it's business, whether it's normal working, you applied yourself to it. Do you understand? Now, this thing is a mindset shift. You can be working in a place. See, don't forget, this is me coming in a place. I'm paying people salaries. I was able to go low and say, because this is what I believe, every region fund yourself. Every region fund yourself. I cannot be pulling money from Nigeria to be taking care of my family. No, I had to walk the walk in Canada for you to do what? For me to be able to have that money to fund the Canadian bills and the lifestyle. Because if you are pulling money from where you're coming from your family business back home or whatever, if you are pulling money from it, don't forget, you're going to strain the business over there.
Yeah.
So in what, where you are, if you say to yourself, it's just something, you lock it, it's a mindset, you lock it down and say to yourself, listen, this place must work. Okay? Now, that will begin to influence how you are taking your decision. That will begin, you don't go and sit with the Joneses because you know what you're working on. Okay? So that will begin to influence your decision, begin to influence, you know, the choices that you make.
Yeah. Okay?
Now, I remember very well, while I was at that job, I would talk to people and say, well, how long have you been doing this? Oh, I've been here for 17 years. I've been here for 17 years.
Sorry, no offense to that. Yeah.
I've been here for 17 years. I've been here for 15 years.
Yeah.
I have experience in all the streams. So in my mind, don't forget, I'm an entrepreneur. I'll be like, you know what these things are. You've not seen one window to create something out of this place.
Out of it, yeah.
Now, I understand that, you see, what is not handed over to you or what you do not learn, you can't see opportunity in it. I am blessed with one gift. And I try to hone that gift. Is this, when I enter a room, I can see the opportunities very fast. I spot it very fast. That's why sometimes my friends, you ask me, what project are you working on now? What project are you working on now? Because I'm always working on one thing or the other. Okay, so, but the thing now is, when you find out what you want to do, okay, I did not just get up and left my job.
Mm.
2 years into that job, I had registered a company. Okay?
Oh, wow.
2 years into that job, I had registered a company. I will work Monday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and on the evenings after my regular job was my own time to run my own company.
Mm.
So I was not lounging and saying, in 3 years, I resign. It was not sugar. I'm not trying to psych myself. So I knew that I had work to do. Mm. Do you understand? So I arranged my lifestyle around to see. I didn't have time for frivolities. Some people used to say to my wife, we see you, we don't see your husband, because I was working on, I'm working on something. So you can't be seen everywhere running around and just say, I'm resigning, leaving my work. Hunger will beat you, not America. Okay. So I did that for 1 year. Then immediately before that 1 year, I just said, you know what? I'm done with this.
Mm.
I want to sit down now and sit with my business.
Mm.
So when I came to the management and I said I was leaving, I wasn't, it's not in the function, oh, I would we'll do anything wrong.
Yeah, can we pay you more to stay? There's
that
no fight.
Is not the point. Yeah, there's, because this is what they used to me. They said, Chris, you're a great guy. This place is open for you anytime you want to come in.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to come back. I said, I'm not, you are not seeing me back. As I'm leaving, exiting the door, I'm gone. Do you understand? So that's the thing, is you carefully understanding the price you have to pay.
Yeah.
Okay. And entrepreneurship that you succeeded in one place and doesn't you come into another zone does not necessarily mean that you are going to succeed. If you don't go back to the things that you've always done. Do you understand? And that's why I say to people, you are patient enough to go to medical school, where you're going to spend 7 years or 4 years. You did not get up one day after first year and say, now I'm a pharmacist. Now I'm a doctor. I'm going to go away. You were patient enough. As an entrepreneur, you must be patient. You must be patient. Okay? So it's very important that people have these things at the back of their mind, so that you, if you know that you want to go back into owning a business, okay, you need to have clear-cut plan how you want to go about it. Don't go and jump and leave your job and say, I can do something. Don't forget, I said 1 year before I resigned.
I
was grinding.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very important.
Hmm. I mean, how do you top that? Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that, adding more robustness to your questions. I have two follow-up questions for you. One would be, so you've talked a lot about just how you know, the introspectiveness you brought into surveying where you were coming from and then where you are right now, and knowing when to start and when to exit, and all the plans you had to kind of get yourself started. I'm also curious to know, were there some support networks or maybe programs or resources, especially in Canada, that helped you as an immigrant entrepreneur that you like to highlight?
Now, this is the thing. Okay, I didn't go for any. I wasn't looking for nothing. Is it true?
Chris, because on our podcast, we talk about community. Throw some into the collection plate.
Okay, good. Now, this is the thing. No, I will say something. No, when in starting the business, there is no. I wouldn't say that. What's it called? I went to meet one government grant to give me money. No.
Mm-hmm.
But I will give it to the Nigerian community.
Mm-hmm.
The Nigerian community were the first group of people, because you see, every politics is local. Every business too is local.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the Nigerian community was where I went to present myself and say, guys, this is what I'm doing now. Okay? Because in that industry first, I noticed something. You have a lot of Indians who are in it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was this. I had to circle back to my community and say, guys, there's a Nigerian doing this right now.
It's compatibilizing.
Okay? And I give it to the Nigerian community in Calgary.
Mm.
We taught one another very well. I can say it in my business. I would say that if I have done 100, if I have 100 clients, Nigerians, Nigerian Canadians, I can bet you that they are at least 70.
Shout out to those people. I mean, we talk a lot about Nigerians don't support one another in diaspora.
No, nah, it's a lie.
Right?
It's not in this place. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So the Nigerian community helped me a great deal when I was starting out. So we talk about in terms of patronage, I give it to my Nigerian community. They've done fantastically well for me. Okay. Now, when you are servicing your own people, it's going to come with its own challenges. Okay. Because some people want to also paste you the same way they accept your service in Nigeria. They want to paste it here.
Yeah.
That's why you have to put structures in place that says, listen, the same way you can patronize another person who looks different than me is the same way you need to understand that. I understand. And one of the things I did was this. I sold my value to the Nigerian community. I knew what they want to see. Okay. Nigerian community do not want to see too many rules. Okay. So I give them what they wanted to see. There are not too many rules. Okay. Because some people will say, okay, fine, we're going to carry a 40 pounds box. If it now becomes 60 pounds, we'll charge you extra. I didn't want to charge anybody extra. Okay. Because once you bring all those rules, the Nigerian American, Nigerian Canadian will just look at it and say, oh boy. No. This is what I don't want. Okay. So it's also understanding that for me, I needed the Nigerian community as an entry point. Okay. And of which they obliged me. And we kept our service rendering professional. Even though that we understand we had the same background, okay, or in terms of cultural background, I also wanted to maintain that, you know, that standard that is the Canadian standard. Okay, so I will tolerate you in certain things. Where some people will say, we'll charge you extra for another pound. I wouldn't charge you extra. I wouldn't charge, whether you were Caucasian, whether you are Nigerian, I didn't want to charge anybody extra. I wanted people to feel at home. I wanted people to see a different part of the services. Because sometimes I feel that in North America, sometimes some things are too to the extreme. Okay, because you're already doing a job. It's just £2 different, man. You lifted that thing. What are you charging?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I want to be able to help with people who are thinking in that direction and saying, I don't think this extra charge is worth it. So for me, I have been able to, Nigerian community, shout out to Nigerian community. Fantastic.
Thank you for that.
And for me, and this is always why I try to give back too. Even in terms of what's it called, even in hiring system or whatever, I want to give back to say, this community that has supported me so much like this, because you see, let's be honest, you go to a Mexican business environment, you find Mexican Americans, okay, supporting one another. Because as a minority group, how else can you support yourselves if you don't give yourselves opportunities?
Right.
Okay. That's what it is. So we have to first, because I have to be shouting it on the mountain top within my community that those on the other side can hear me.
Yeah.
So that's
Thank
it.
You.
So I give it out. I give it to the Nigerian community. Fantastic.
That's a great, you've just said some of the things we already know to be true on the podcast. Yeah, people can be people, but there's something great about knowing that you have this shared history with this group of people who can help highlight you. And I bet that you do business with everybody, but you being able to highlight that, even for the Nigerian Americans, I don't think I'll have made it this far. And I think that's very big of you. Now, you have businesses in Nigeria and Canada, right? There's this ongoing sentiment that if you have a business even when you're in Nigeria, so people are stealing from you, they are making your business bad, if you're not going to the office all the time, how much more if you're on the other side of the pond? So how do you manage to keep your business running efficiently from Canada, especially the ones in Nigeria, knowing that sentiment we have about our own people just always wanting to steal from, you know, employers and not, you know, do the right thing while you're not there?
Okay, so for me, this is the thing that amazes me about my my country of birth, Nigeria. People always flip on everything. You should understand something that, you see, there's a really fundamental challenge in running a business in Nigeria. Mm. What is that fundamental challenge? That fundamental challenge is that as you are hiring one person, understand that he's not just there to help your business. He also wants to feel important. He wants to feel his, he wants to be known as a new chairman in his own family. So me, I told myself the truth that as you are coming like this, as I'm hiring you like this, you are normal, but you're also a thief, in quote. Okay.
So, wait, what?
No. I'm sorry to say, but it's almost like it's like an unwritten code somewhere at the back of my mind. As I'm hiring you, you're going to steal from me. Don't worry. I know that one. So I am not worried about it. Okay.
As a future employee, so, as a prospective employee, I don't know if I have to feel about that kind of sentiment, but I can see just how it feels safe to knowing that, you know what? You can be a thief, no. But
you just need
wrong
to understand.
By not being a thief.
You need to understand something. So when I see people, they steal from me, I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? This is a general problem everywhere in this country.
It's not right, though.
It's a general problem. So what are you going to do? This is what I decided to do. Before I left for Canada, so I started doing something. I will ask my people to take certain responsibilities, okay?
Mm.
So maybe I went to Ghana, I tell them, handle things, do your thing, and all that, okay? Now, I know some things that I do. See, some people ask me, how are you able to manage your business? Well, mm. A client told me, I went to Nigeria one time, and one of my customers told me, he said, I didn't notice you were not around. See, where did you find those guys? In my mind, I was saying that, hey, Boya Lumo, if you know
the things I'm doing,
the technique I've used to
hold them down. you need to write a book about this. You need to teach a master class. Because I can't tell how many entrepreneurs are having high blood pressure all the way from here because of their businesses in Nigeria.
You know how many have told me that, Ubon, you're still running business in that place. I don't know how you're doing it.
Even with CCTV, they have CCTV, they'll be watching it, getting high blood pressure. This person, I saw how they charge the account, but then they pay into a personal account.
So, all those things, I experienced them.
Uh-huh.
But let me tell you what I do. I told myself, who are the 20% that gives me my 80% output?
Make
I focused my energy on those ones.
Mm.
I took, the office phone,
mm-hmm,
where the call will come in for individual customers.
Mm.
I took it, I gave it to the most senior person using the phone.
Make him feel important, right? Back to your
I
room.
Take the phone. You know, as I was giving that phone, in my mind, I know that all the individual customers that pay cash, you will take all of them. In my mind, take them. That's what I'm willing to sacrifice.
Hmm.
Take all the individual customers, collect the 100K, collect the 50K, collect the take all. But I wanted those 20% that was giving me that 80%.
Hmm.
I wanted my people to continuously service them. That 80%, they will never pay you cash. That 80%, they will not pay into
the company account.
That is not the registered one doing business with them.
Mm.
Okay? So, it's all about asking yourself, what are you willing to let go? What are you willing to let go? But the problem, what I notice people are doing is this. You want to be here and be here and collect here and guide there.
Everything, yeah.
Give all those things. Focus your energy on what you want to achieve. Okay? I don't want the businesses that have, that I started to die. So what did I decide to do? I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to make this corporate stealing. I'm going to make it formal official.
Oh my goodness, Chris.
Okay? I'm going to make this thing official. Meaning that, because one time I jokingly asked my senior employee, I said, dude, where are all my individual customers? I'm not seeing them. Where are they? And watch what I did. When I left that number, I didn't connect to WhatsApp. I didn't connect. I wanted him, because at the back of my mind, take them. I need them to feed your pockets. but I wanted you to be doing this, to attend to this 20%. That would give me
80%. And did you make them know that you knew that we were doing that? So there was a mutual understanding.
Yeah. No. The thing is this. When I was giving it to them, when I was opening up all those windows,
yeah.
I didn't tell them that I know that
you're going to do that. Yeah.
No, I didn't. But at the back of my mind, for my own sanity and for me to focus, I did it. So when I asked that question, I was asking the question to confirm what I already knew.
And would they confess, or some of them were lying about it?
No, they'd be like, you know, we didn't see them. You know, some of them, they called, they don't do this. So in my mind, I'm like, my way, you are in me.
Was there anyone that kind of like surprised you and they were very honest to the very end of it?
There is no, see,
that is
most
sad.
I'll be the one that will call.
Can we just talk about how sad that is, really?
There's nothing to be sad about it. It is just a knowing of the environment where you have put your business. Do you understand? You can put the difference between Nigeria and here, you can put business in North America and go away for 30 years.
Because the law supports you in a way.
That's it.
If
you go to Nigeria now and drag one guy and say, I want to get me police, this guy ate my money.
You pay the police for the detention.
You pay police.
They'll call the family member
They will call family member to come and beg you.
By the time you spend all the money, how much have they stolen? How much have you spent? Is it worth it?
Yeah. So find a win-win. That is, it's just like you saying that you want to go and take natural resources somewhere. And they told you that there are mafias in that place that will not let you take that natural resource. What are you going to do? You will find a win-win between you and the mafias so that natural resource can be taken. Mafias are all right. Everybody will be okay. Do you understand? So if you don't find a way to provide this balance, listen, even that one you are seeing will be gone. The people will run down the company. They will go home. They will look for the next company to go and run over.
Yeah.
Do you understand? That's the truth. So is that is a price? Are you going to let your dream to keep going on so that you create opportunity for you to return? Or you are going to let the dream die?
Mm.
Because the truth is they are going to go somewhere else and run it down. Leave all that one. It's going to happen. Mm. Do you understand? Mm. So for me, then another thing I did was this. So when I noticed that the individual customer. So some will call me and say, your boy came and did this. Your staff came and did this.
But they didn't report it to
you. I said, okay, that's fine. Are you sure? Did he do a good job? Oh, you did a good job. So in my mind, under what name is he doing? Someone said, he gave me his private account. I said, have you paid? Oh, that's fine. No problem. Let's continue. Okay. So, but this is the thing. So one of the things I did, Victor, and I said, these guys, I still have my A-class customers intact. No one is missing. I said, what am I going to do? I'm going to now do something for these guys. I'm going to give them ownership.
Ownership?
Yes.
Explain that again.
I will explain the ownership. So what did I do? I said, okay, you see all these individual customers, some of these corporate organizations that they are not really, what I mean as in, they are there, but no, I can do without their money.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So I said, okay, Mr. A, you take these customers.
Service them.
All of them. But you are still servicing them under my company.
Yeah.
My company. I say, Mr. B, you take these ones. All of them. Do you understand? So now everybody has a stick. Now can we do business?
So leadership, making them feel like they're okay.
Everybody has a stake.
That's a crazy move.
You have to understand that you are dealing the environment you are dealing.
Is an asylum. Everybody's crazy.
It's not a joke. Or else everything will be gone in 3 months. Everything is gone. So these are the things I had to do. And that's why when I see people, you are here, you are flipping.
Yeah.
I used to ask a question. How long has these people worked for you? You tell me somebody has worked for you for the past 13 years, 15 years. So you need to understand something. See, people will do what they will do, okay? But you too, you have to be sensitive to understand that if somebody has put in 10 years with you, 12 years with you, it is time, especially if they are like a the trigger point that helps your service rendering business to keep moving. It takes a lot to train people. It takes a lot. I have customers that they will ask me, this is how I'm so special. So my customers, they already know my staff. They know the ones that I sent to them by name. Do you understand? So they can afford, even when they get to their estate or get to their company, they can afford to go in there and see those people without any, what's it called? Because yeah, they've seen them over the years. Do you want to lose that and go and get another deputy criminal?
Start over again,
You're going to get a deputy criminal. You are going to steal from you. Okay.
The thief you know is better than the thief you don't know.
So what you need to just do is you need to understand that you are going to deal with issues. You tell yourself, what can I let go?
Handle it, yeah.
Okay. And from time too, don't forget, when I was with them, I've always allowed them to take initiative. I've always allowed them to go and do things. Sometimes I understand that entrepreneurs are attached to what they built. Sometimes it makes them, they present themselves everywhere in that business. Yeah. So that's why you find that in Nigeria, most people, their business, even though they are churning in millions, okay, but their business is centered around them. If they are ill, that business will shake. Something happens, if they go for a course for 2 months, that business will shake. That's not a good model. You have to build your business. Yes, I understand that you built it from nothing. You have attachment, but you need to understand something, that you need people for the business to go to the next level. So now you have to now decide, how will I work with these people that are within my environment? Considering the fact that you are not there to checkmate them, okay? So tell yourself, stealing will happen. They will steal from you. That one is 100%. Tell yourself that one is going to happen. Secondly, now, if you are doing unit item, okay? Because you see, if you are doing unit item, I have both service rendering, I have unit items, I have products. Do you understand? So one of the things I did was, I told the factory manager, I said, dude, listen, factory manager, see, every product you produce here, anything you sell, you have $1,000 per carton. $1,000 per carton. Do you understand? What have I done? I've given him steak.
Wow, I mean, it's such a radical move you're doing, though. But I can see how that can potentially, it will cost you less headache, and that sense of what's the word? That air of distrust that people bring into, like, as an entrepreneur, especially when you're so far away, it frees your mind a little bit. You can't worry about the small things. Think about your top customers, but also giving your employees that pathway to ownership, so that way they feel like they are part of the brand.
That's it.
And that can also increase productivity, knowing that, oh, the boss is not micromanaging me.
That's it.
Your employees, how long have they been working with you for?
The most senior one has worked with me now for, I think, if I'm not wrong, is it 14 years?
Oh, wow.
Okay, yes.
And they're growing as well. And they're growing as well.
I know how they were when they came. So I know how they were when they came. So that's why I say to them, listen, you take this, you take that. When I relinquished some clients to them, so in my mind, I said, okay, I want the way you guys felt, this boss is making so much money. So I'll be like, okay, how is your client? How are you managing your customers? Boss, it's tough. I'm like, is it tough now? No, it doesn't have to be tough. You have to manage.
I imagine.
You understand? So what you do is that you give them that feel. Everybody's important. Everybody wants to see growth. Don't say because the people are going to steal from you, or they are going to do some certain things that you that will give you heartbreak. Don't use because of that, and do not create opportunities for people who have been with you for a long time. Okay? Understand that it will come to a point, you have to create a win-win system. That's what I have done. And I bet you that business will be on from now till the next 30, 40 years. Because everybody has a stake in it.
In it, yeah. Yeah.
Do you understand? So it's very important that you look at things from that perspective, or else you are going to, once you leave like this, you will sell it. You must sell the business.
And then it doesn't serve any purpose anymore. listening to you, I see that the business model, especially for entrepreneurs, is run the way we do the house help model, where we'd never want to think of them as the same plane. Like, they are not on the same level as us, which can be quite dangerous, because if you are bringing them to your house, they are taking care of your kids, feeding you, and you're still looking at them as less than. If they really want to do something to you and hurt your family, they can. And we've seen cases of that happening. But your own model is, I'll give them the platform to be equal owners in the business. But even that ownership is still very controlled, in the sense of the 20% that will give me my 80%, I've already, you know, secured that I can let go of these little things. But in the mind of the other employers, like, he trusts us. He's giving us, he's even giving me his client and all that. You're making them be part of the brand. And in that regard, there's perpetuity of your legacy. Your business is running, even while you're still far away from them. And I bet that not even people that are in Nigeria right now running their businesses, they probably don't have the same yield as you, being so far away.
I think my professional colleagues, they ask me, I said, how are you doing this thing? Your guys are so spot on. In my mind, I'd be like, the only way, if I don't want to talk too much, I just say, oh boy, I pay price for it. Okay? Because, you see, I have a project, some professional will call me and say, okay, this is a challenge we're having with our workers. What should we do? Because to them, you are a man to talk to. For you to have been away for it since, and things are happening, you really need to know what you are doing. And I told one guy, I said, listen, you need to understand something. You are the boss, but all this attitude of get up, fire this one, fire that one, you will keep recycling people, and your business is not going to grow, because you're not allowing, you are not giving room for people to breathe around you. Okay?
Mm.
Understand that as you focus your energy in building that 20% that gives you that 80%, you tell yourself, this remaining 20% is what I can sacrifice for this business to keep moving.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So if you don't find a way to give people ownership in what you are doing, there is a way. I learned something. Somebody said that, Oprah Winfrey said something. Say, delegate every other thing, but put your checkbook in your armpit like this. That's what I do. Do you understand? That is what I do. I take every other thing, I can dash it to you. But you see that 20, 80, I am the one. I am the one managing that one. I am the one that this. You are only executing. I am the one managing that one. Do you understand?
Wow.
It's very important that you find a way to, because it's all about you asking yourself, what do you want? So when people tell me about these things, my question is, what do you want?
Mm.
Are you going to be chasing all the small cents,
pennies,
or you want to focus on the real thing and go where you are going?
I feel like you need to do a master class on this. This is gold. Was this something you learned from somebody, or with time you just, you know, figure it out?
No, I've always known. This is me. I remember saying something. See, there's a place of equity. There's a place of fairness.
Mm.
This is what I always ask myself. Chris, what is fair in this conversation?
Mm.
I didn't learn this from anybody.
Mm.
I kept asking myself, what is fair? Things will happen. My people, they will fire this, fire that, fire this. Next thing, oh boy, can you send me your team to come and help me? In my mind, I'd be like, oh, God, calm down. This thing, yeah, you're just firing people here and there. Mm. Okay, don't distribute fire. You don't need it. You just need to know what are they. Put a system that says, listen, we are all in this together. Mm. Because it is the environment that you found yourself.
Yeah.
The next one you are about to hire, the only reason you think is righteous is because you have not put him
where there's money.
You understand? So for me, I always looked at it to say that. Because when I was there, I used to ask my guys, I said, what have you done right now? I said, you have earned this amount of money working with me. I need to see what you have done with it.
Mm.
You understand? So, and I try to help them. Whatever things are important to them, I try to get involved. Do you understand? So, because I know that I had to build a solid community. I wasn't building a business to say, I'm going to sit down here for life. No. Okay, so I wanted people to have a sense of belonging on and to. If you, what bothered you, bothered me, okay? So that's the way. Now, I know sometimes people say, hey, you do all these things, they will sit still. Okay, yeah. Listen, stealing is already constant. Leave down.
Wow. Okay. I feel like I keep talking to you, but we need to continue the conversation. So and this next question, you actually inspired it. With the way you're going, I can see that you have that longevity. But one thing I noticed in Nigeria, and I think it's maybe particularly so for most developing nations, is we don't really see that intergenerational transfer of business, you know, ownership. So how are you changing that narrative, especially with your kids and all that? Is this something you hope that someday they can inherit and keep it going? Have you given any thoughts to that?
No, I'm not I don't belong to that school of thought that says that what you have built, your children have to continue with it. Okay? Now, I have, in what I do, in building things around, I have charity mindset. Okay? So this is always the mindset that I have. Today, I love entrepreneurship. My daughters may not be interested. My son may not be interested. The responsibility I have as a father is to help my daughter find purpose in whatever they want to do. Is to help my son find. If my daughter says, oh, dad, I want to manage your businesses, fantastic. But I'm not of that saying I'm grooming
Tool
you.
Of those, yeah.
Well, no. The day that once they grow as adults and they choose their path, okay, if there is nobody, the day I no longer want to do it, if I want to sell it and put the money in my pocket and travel around the world with my wife, I'll do it. If I want to will it and say, okay, who is the person that I've been here, who can run this business, who has interest? I say, okay, dude, I'm going to give you up this to you. You pay me royalty. Okay? So what am I saying? It's long-term in mind. It's not hereditary. I'm not trying to say, okay, I want to hand it over to this child. There's no law that says it has to happen like that. Okay? So I'm a kind of person that says, if I build a house and I don't have any child or anybody who is interested to take it over, I'm a kind of person that says, let this house go to the cause that I believe in.
Yeah.
Because it's not all about, you know, you. Because you see, after you are gone, do you know what the next generation is doing with it?
Right, right. You might be better off with the right person. It doesn't necessarily have to be your progeny.
That's what
right?
it is. Yeah. Exactly. That's it. Mm. So it's not, people have to, they have to balance this thing. And you know, all these things stem out of, you know, when you have suffered and suffered, you know, in your mind, I don't want my children to suffer. What is it they want them to suffer? Suffer what?
Yeah.
Calm down on this thing of, I don't want my children to suffer what I suffered. What you suffered made you who you are. Now that you have given your children, it's the truth. Now that you have given your children a better platform, it is now because a leader sees the future and you point the followers towards that future. So it's now for you to begin to raise them in the direction that they need to go. It is not for you to be saying, I built this company so I can go and take over. Your child may not be interested. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. Oh, so many gems you've dropped today, Chris. So many gems. Okay, as we wind down, let me just show them these final questions. Now, you know, in our part of the world, like Nigeria, you've also alluded to that, right? How can young entrepreneurs, you know, identify opportunities in a competitive market, whether they in Nigeria or, you know, outside of it, wherever they may be? But the commonality is that they're from Nigeria. As you know, there's a strong emphasis on obtaining a degree over gaining practical experience, especially for those who might be, you know, they might have find more utility in gaining those practical experience. And at the same time, you hear things like, you know, school is a scam, school is a scam. That reflects like a growing skepticism about the value of formal education. Now, how do you advise young entrepreneurs to almost be open-minded to identify opportunities in the competitive market while also striking that balance, ensuring that they're getting the necessary education, but it's something that they're using to help them grow so they don't end up pursuing degrees that may not serve their goals?
Okay, so for me, if you as a young entrepreneur, this is what I will tell you. Focus on skill acquisition in whatever you're doing. Focus. Now, that skill acquisition may mean, let's say you're in Nigeria, you might see one man who does a particular craft very well. He never went to school. Calm down. You have a degree, it didn't mean nothing. Because if your degree could take you high, you should be flying high with it already.
Already, right.
So what it means is that you're supposed to go and meet that old man that has that skill that you know that he is a master in it. Mm. Go and humble yourself and learn at his feet. That is one. Secondly, when you now start doing that, there's a place where your education will come in. Because if you went to the school mindfully, that you were not mindless when you went to school, you will be able to find a way to tweak that thing. You can see something that the old man, he has succeeded at his level. But you can see something that if I touch this way, this thing can go beyond where it is right now. Okay. So in other words, understand that you are going to leverage. Understand that you are going to connect. So be that type of person that those who don't have your formal kind of education, they can be comfortable around you to show you something that is for the next generation, because the previous generation are always carrying something that can be transferred to the next one who interprets the dream of their own generation. Is important. So this thing of, you know, you making look like, do you have a first degree? He doesn't have, he doesn't know anything.
You
have to stem it down. Now, when you come into that industry, this is one thing I would advise.
Okay.
Go and get educated in that industry. Okay. Now, what do I mean? You are into interior decoration, for example. Okay. You are studying economics in school as your first degree, but you have one older aunt who is into interior decoration. You go and help her over the weekend, and now you can see that you begin to you find your heart leaping towards that industry. In the midst of your BSc economics you are doing, now start buying books in line with interior decoration. Now don't just see that you're going to help the aunt out on the weekend to do some certain things, or during your, don't just see it as if somebody's trying to punish you. Now begin to be mindful of what you are doing. Listen, it's only a matter of time. When you graduate after that, your first degree, while your colleagues are looking for job, you are already doing what? You are already looking for clients in what you are doing. So it will give you leverage. So balance this concept of education and skill. Balance it. Education is not just a degree. Education is you preparing yourself to have the utmost value, to get the utmost value from what you are doing. So it's very important that you look at things deeply that way. If you don't look at it, what it's going to mean is that you're going to meet people who are standing in what they are doing, but they did not go to your former school, and you are going to write them off, and you missed something. So it's very important. That's what I'm going to say.
I mean, those are great points. And again, I feel like for those who I listen to that might find it in this, is knowing yourself first and what you plan to achieve, right? And making, hopefully this works for you. So you've talked a lot about just your life and all that. How do you think, what role would you say your spouse has played in all of your entrepreneurial journey? I mean, I've met your wife several times. She's very sweet, and her cooking skills are just amazing. So, like, guys, like, I went to Canada. I stopped by their house, and I wasn't going to stay long, but she made me amala, buka amala with begiri. I was like, oh, my goodness, Vivian. And she's not even Yoruba, by the way, but I think she's even more Yoruba than I am. So what role would you say she has played in your entrepreneurial journey? Because you mentioned just how sometimes you're missing that family time, especially during the times, formative years of building your business and all that.
Yeah.
And what role has she played in your entrepreneurial journey? And how do you really balance work and family life? Because you have four kids now.
Yeah, I do. So anyway, so my I used to say to people, my wife is my greatest critic. Okay. So if I have an idea now and she can tell me 1,001 reasons I am wrong. Okay. Now she plays the devil advocate to tell me about, okay, you need to look at this, you need to look at that. Now the thing is me on maxing as in my, what I mean as in, how are you, because see, this is the thing about entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs does not like, when he has a great idea, and then you start puncturing the lines. You almost feel as if you are against what he wants to do. But you need to unmax that your ego. You need to remove your ego, unmax your emotional difference, and listen to what they are saying. Because it's in that, because if one person that is closer to you, who sees you every day, is already feeling like this, these services you want to render. So that means that if you can make that tweak, because they're actually saying those things in love, if you can make that tweak, you're going to have a fantastic service out there. That's one. Secondly, my wife is very homely. Me, I'm the one that I'm always here and there.
The outside.
I am outside. That's the one. Very homely. So she has helped me a great deal in managing the family. You know, the children. In fact, she I would say she has managed my life in a way. Okay. Because she's the one that helps me, that tells me, okay, then this birthday is coming. Like, you know, we've also built some certain family cult, what's it called?
Values,
culture.
Yeah.
That values. We started doing this one when we had girls for a long time before my son arrived.
Yeah.
So in Nigeria, we used to take our daughters, we take them to, like, you know, one of the, it's like a posh restaurants. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we take them there and we continue with that. Like every first Sunday, we eat out as a family. We, you know, we have certain things that we do. So it doesn't matter. So you just have to
Try. You have to be
You have to be there.
Thank God for Vivian for holding you, because I'm sure you will. Guys, that one, it's going to make more money. Vivian, take your flowers.
Okay. So we have all those things that we do. So she helps me through, and in the finances, she helps me, you know, in terms of saying, okay, you have to look at this, you have to look at, because she's an accountant anyway. So you have to look at this and look at that. So, you know, because sometimes at the break, I can just run.
Are you right?
Because as long as you see money, you're all right. So at least I have a wife who can help me look at it and say, put more energy here. Delete this one, look at that. So it's just everything is coming together, helping you to helping me to look at things, all my blind spot areas. Vivian helped me to spot them.
True definition of he who finds a wife, right,
finds a good thing.
And that's really great. I mean, looking at your journey so far, what would you say you're the most proud of?
I'm proud of my tenacity. I'm proud of my doggedness. I'm proud of myself that I've replicated entrepreneurship in two continents. I'm proud of myself that coming to meet big institutions, I am proud of myself to say that I know something that I can offer. And I went all out to offer that thing. I'm proud of myself to say that I am smarter than certain people, no matter how they look. I'm proud of myself to say that I am always learning, no matter who the person. When I'm on a project, my ears are wide open. Doesn't matter whether the person is a homeless person.
Opportunities, yeah.
He says something. Even in that is consistency being homeless, I'm learning something from it. Okay, so I am willing to learn. There is no, as a matter of fact, I've killed ego. There's nothing like that. Because it's a continuous learning process for me, okay? And I understand that when I mean smarter, it's not a place of pride. So, no. It's just something to say that, all these things that, because somebody said for you to go to China, start from your back door, okay? So that means that I learned some things from my back door, from my backyard. I learned some things. So for me to now put that at work, put that to work here, I am grateful to God for the opportunity to have been able to implement some of these things, make the changes, tweak things. And again, I'm also happy for my ability to be able to manage people. To manage people.
That's the biggest part of business, though. People management.
Yes. Manage people. My ability to manage. Because you see, North America has its own challenges. Massive challenge. One of the challenges that doing business in North America has is for you to be able to manage people. People are not really committed here. That's the truth.
And labor is so expensive.
It's so expensive. People are not.
And they're not doing the work. They're not hardworking like that.
It's just drama.
Their heart is not, most of them, their heart is not there. We can talk about Nigerians, right? But there's a way that they can, like, people that will do the work will do the work. But here, labor is expensive. When you even find it, it's not very robust.
I said to even find one, Canada as a case study, to find who will work with you is challenging. Even when they come, because the options are so many. Do you understand? It's like a revolving door. They are moving to the next one. They are moving to the next one. Do you understand? So you need to understand that if you're going to do business here as an entrepreneur, there's nothing you are doing wrong when it comes to people. People will leave. Understand that one. People will leave. You will. They will come today. As they start working, they start earning the money, and just understand they are looking for the next highest bidder. They are moving. Okay. Some of them leave your own and go to a lower bidder because she wants. he wants to tap into one. One of the government programs
that can give them free money.
So understand it. So it's just like I said, people are going to be people. Yeah. So just keep moving on with your dream. And as an entrepreneur, you need to understand that. See, you have to have this mindset that it must work. You must understand that challenges will come every day. Once you open your eyes like this, challenges are there waiting for you. Okay. So stop flipping once you see challenge. Calm down. Another one is coming tomorrow. So let's start mastering how to deal with the challenges. Do you understand? So it's very important that you look at that and you know, once you are solid, you're not flipping around, you're solid. You look at things and say, okay, fine, what's the issue here? Is this something I need to deal with now? Is this something that will affect the business? Is this something that I need to gain skill, how to manage issues like this? Because one of the challenging things about North America is this. People can... You saw him today. You planned with him today. Today, yeah. We are going to do something tomorrow. My brother, you can come to work. Eh? You are wondering that this person that said, yes, we can take the land. We can. You are looking for him.
Which is an irony, okay. Because here, before you hire somebody, you go through, there'll be references, you know. But back home, anyone can just walk into your store and, okay, I'll hire you. You know, there's guarantors here. There's a law protecting you, the business owner and the employee, but anyone can walk out at will and you can't do anything about it.
So you have to calm down. So it's just you understanding that you don't... You know, some people will think it too much. What am I doing wrong? Oh, boy.
It's not you.
You like to call the whole thing. In North America, they will leave.
There's no loyalty like that.
That's it.
This is one episode I feel like I can keep talking to you forever and ever. But I think I need to let you go, Chris. I need to let you go. Okay.
Thank you.
But wait. There's this question I have to ask you. You've talked about the things you did right and how you're able to figure things out. If you could go back again and look through your trajectory, you know, from Nigeria to Canada and all of your other dealings in between, if you could go back and change one thing, what would you do differently?
I could go back and change one thing. What will I do? This is one thing I would do. I would look for a business that has to deal with human dwellings. Okay. If I could go back and sometimes I feel like I wish I'm a little bit much, much younger. There's no way I will not do plumbing. There's no way I will not do electrician. Okay. Now, I'll say this because it's a challenge. In North America, if you want to buy a business that requires tickets, that requires what's it called, like, you know, a plumber and all that. If you want to buy such business, if you don't have that license, let me tell you, you will buy a fantastic business, but it will be difficult for you to maintain that business. You know why?
Why?
Because once the people, when you buy that that business, if I buy an HVAC company now, okay, HVAC, plumbing and the rest of them, the guys, once they just know that I don't have license to make that business work, what you don't recognize is that the people who sold you that business, watch 99.9% of them, they all have the license. They all have the tickets. They can do that job without those people. Okay? So because the people know that the owners of the business have the tickets, they can go and do that job. Okay, I give you a scenario. I had one worker here in my Canadian business. I had staff, and one morning, you know, we had two clients that particular truck was supposed to service.
Okay.
And then I asked him a question why he destroyed something, and he got pissed off and he threw my key at me.
What?
And he left. Yes, he left. So this is a Caucasian. He left. And it's not because he's a Caucasian that he did it. Your fellow black too will do it.
We'll do it.
So it's not a race thing. Okay? Yeah. It is the environment. But why didn't I feel it? I hopped into that truck. I can drive my truck myself. I drove it, went to do the job, delivered on everything, and went to park the truck. So imagine if you're buying an HVAC business and you can't do it. You already gave your client your word. You already gave the, because you have different routes where you sign your technicians, okay? And this particular route, somebody has left. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So that's why you have to understand that any business you want to do, first, be sure you can do it alone first. If all the other variables are all gone, it's very important.
Yeah.
Okay, or else you will buy a company, it's churning millions of dollars.
And then,
you don't have it. It's the truth.
Yeah.
A medical doctor went, he bought a clinic that was owned by a Russian.
Okay, in Canada.
You got there, you saw the place booming, Russians. The man was retiring. As the old man retired, all the Russian customers, they all went to meet, look for the next Russian doctor. That's it.
Can you imagine? Wow.
Guy bought an empty castle. You have to now grow it organically. So it's very important for you to be, you have to be, buying business in North America is skill. You need to understand it. They are selling HVAC, their cash flow is 2.5 million dollars per annum. Just went, you grab it. You don't have license. You don't have the ticket. You don't have your red seal. You can't do it if the people are not there. Okay. All they need to do is just find out that you don't know it. Next morning, first technician calls you. I'm not available. Something is turning my tummy. By the next afternoon, one person has called. So what are you going to do? And for you to find people who can replace those things are so challenging.
Yeah, in this part of the world, yeah. Again, labor is expensive.
But if it's in Africa where you're coming from, I don't understand. As one is saying story like this, you have there are 10.
Line the next person up. No time for holla.
That's it. So these are all the things you need to understand, that we have to be able to know how to navigate. Every terrain has its own skill.
Yeah.
You have to navigate it. If you don't have too much money for experimentation, get a job first.
The know-how, yeah.
Or you go and meet a company who is doing that thing and tell them you want to work for free and learn the ropes.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
Because
without
your money you brought somewhere, you might be able to pay your bill, but you can pay that sacrifice of 1 year for you to go and learn something somewhere. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what if I subscribe? I would say get a job in that industry and sit down there. Get a job there. At least they are paying you for learning. Okay? And then when you get there, leave all those titles, leave all those things, throw all those things. Just go and learn skill with time, okay? Because with time, you are going to... Some people have resigned from where they are and the company liquidated and they went to buy their asset. I've seen it happen.
No. I mean, as possible, but still.
Yeah, I've seen it happen.
Wow.
So just focus on real thing. For me, I always tell people, focus on the real deal. Leave all those shoe shine things. kind of things that are blink, all those bling bling things, throw them away and focus on where you're going. Yeah. So that's it.
Okay, this is the last question, I promise. All of this wisdom you've distilled in this almost 2 hour long episode, how are you preserving it for posterity's sake? Like, how are you passing it forward to the younger generation? Are you going to start your own masterclass series? Do you have like a training school? Because these are like great things that even me, I'm not quite an entrepreneur, I've seen a lot of things, I've heard so many things that I can't wait to share with my friends who have businesses back home in India, because I'm so inspired by your story and I want to pass that on to them. But how are you keeping this in kinetic? How are you keeping this moving forward to really serve the younger generation?
Very interesting question. I love to give back. The only thing I do is, as people allow me, I do it on an individual basis, okay? People talk to me and say, I want to start this. What do you think? Like, a friend spoke to me recently. Now, they were about to run into a big error because I knew it was an error. And I told him. They wanted to go and buy a business in another province, okay? And this business is they wanted to buy, is it an electrical service company? Okay, yeah, good return on investment, whatever. And I said to him, very simple question. I said, dude, do you have a license? Do you have a ticket to be an electrician?
What did you say?
I turned on something on his brain. I am not joking, because they would have lost money. What I mean, lost money. He's doing very well for himself where he is. He's working general manager somewhere and all that. Okay, he's doing very well for himself. But again, I said, you guys, if you don't have that ticket, if you don't have a red seal as an electrician, you buy that business, just know that you have thrown the money away. Just come up. Oh, well, you just went to look for lighter and you just lit your money and
by the money. Money for fire.
Yes. So for me, I did that on a personal level. And that's, you know, he said he never saw it that way. Because this is the thing. When you've never done business and you maybe by virtue of you can access grants or access money or whatever by your savings, you just see some business, you know, you're looking at the bottom line. I am not just looking at the bottom line as a businessman. I'm looking at some things. I'm looking at the, you know, how can this business, how can I, you know, take it to the next level? Can I run it even if I fire everybody? That's why I always say something in my company. I say, listen, I am the only guy who's constant here. Every other person can go. I'm the one that's here. Because I can take other people and replicate everything. So is you understanding how to navigate your environment? So it's very important. So as time allows me, if I have the opportunity, if I, you know, one of the things I do is that I've not thought about it to say, okay, let me start teaching people how to do this thing.
You need to.
Now, have I helped people?
One-on-one,
Thank you so much for that. That was, man, I didn't see that. That statement you made changed the whole thing. Okay? And I'm like, you're rushing. The business is going to give you $1.7 million per annum. Okay. Do you know the volume of work that you will do? Can you take care of that thing? Can you do it? Do you even know where to connect a wire? Do you know how to connect it? I say, all those people you are seeing working for this man, they will all be gone. Immediately they know that this man is retiring, they are going to the next place. You know? So it's very important that we, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to get to do that, you know, to sit down and put things down. And one of the things that encourages me in business is that the people who first started business, they didn't read any business book.
Right.
Let's be honest.
They write it afterwards. Yeah, most of them. Some of them don't write.
They read it after.
Yeah.
That's it.
Some of them write.
So they did not do this. One of the beautiful things was that they ran their business like the Old Testament experience with God. Meaning that when they did something, they saw the causes and effects, they took their hands off it. Okay? Now we have materials that people can read and all those things. Even though I tell people, no matter what you read about running a business, always interpret it based on your own environment. Okay? Because the approach that's working here may not be what's working there. But if you tell me there's something that is constant across board, is that tenacity? Is that doggedness? Is that what the communication skill is constant across board? It is that, integrity, okay? Even though that I know that some people run business out of, you know, with no integrity. But, and consider that some of them, they are still in the game. But how they are managing it is what I don't know, okay? So it's very important that you focus on all those things. And like I always say, every business has a soul, okay? Every business has a soul. You've got to understand that you have to feed this soul so that it can do what? Give you the output. So for me, when I have the opportunity to talk to people about these things, some of my ideas may not look conventional, okay? But it works for me because I interpret everything based on the terrain where I'm doing business. Okay. I try not to bring the way I would do it in Nigeria, to bring it to Canada. In Nigeria, I'm not looking for workers. In Canada, you are perpetually looking for workers.
Yeah, if you could bring those two. I always say, like, I would like a country where there's, you know, accessible labor and there's the heart, but then also with the robust infrastructure that you have in this part of the world. Because Nigeria has a lot of things that is missing here.
Nigeria has massive things that are missing
labor
here.
Is, I mean, you can throw a party in, in 3 days. Here, they'll tell, oh no, our calendar is booked. Which calendar is booked? Which calendar? You have NEPA all the time. You have water. Like, why are you guys not doing the work? You know what I mean? Nigeria, you can put the party in 3 days. Vendors are there to do the work.
Oh. I had a conversation with some people, some Caucasians, and, you know, we're making comparison. He said, okay, do you guys have this problem in your what's
the country,
it called?
Yeah,
where you're coming from. Do you have this problem? I said, I don't know which problem. I don't know. Because we were discussing, you know, they were saying something that the rate at which people, you know, resign their job here and go to another place is also the rate at which people are fired too.
Oh, yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
In North America, you can have coffee today. You're in the boardroom. You are saying something. By next morning,
coffee, sir, before the coffee,
before you drop the cup,
condensation dries out. Security,
they are kicking you out, and the way they kick you out, they use a security to escort you out.
They will pack all of the things.
This is security to kick you out. So these are the things that you need to understand that different. So, and I said, okay. So what is the thing that we pinned to mean the major to be the major issue in Canada? Because there are so many support systems.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Government is the grandfather of everybody.
Yeah.
So they fire you at your job, you go for employment insurance.
Yeah.
You can eat that one for the next 6 months. Do you understand?
No questions asked.
Do you understand? No questions asked. Okay. You'll be fired. So you go there, you start collecting the money. In Africa, in Nigeria. In Nigeria, you get fired, you go back home and think your life and see how I start looking for the next one and hoping that you can find it so soon.
Because there are people that are depending on you for that, you know, you have mouths to feed.
So you can't come and be telling us, you can't be telling stories, okay? So that's it. So there are two different zones. So it's all about that. So that's why I keep saying something that what this region lacks, this other region has it. It also tells us that nobody has everything. Do you understand? Nobody has everything. So all these giving of excuses, this is why I can't make it, this is why I'm this thing, understand that everybody has challenges. So you just have to do what? Make up your mind to surmount your own challenge in your own region. Surmount your own challenges. Okay? As entrepreneur, understand that you will build. If you are building in Nigeria, understand that people will come. They will come and take the mat. They want to take the whole mat and go. You need to find a quickly way to cut them some part of the cake and say, take this cake and leave me with this one. You need to find a way or else there's nothing, you know. So that's just it.
Okay, I need to do a hard stop here. I feel like I can keep going on with you for such a long time. By the way, no, I don't always tell everybody to write a book, but you need to, I don't know how, maybe it's writing a book or doing YouTube series, but all the wisdom that you've shared here, which is just a slice of, you know, what's in your beautiful mind, I feel like we need to hear more, especially young entrepreneurs, people like us, like Nigerians who are maybe transversing both worlds, maybe even the Nigerians in Nigeria. How do you make your business work? How do you have that confidence in your business as well and paving the way for your workers, which is something I feel like we need to learn. So I just want to say thank you. I know your faith is the biggest part of your life. We didn't even talk about that, but Chris is a man of faith. Yeah, if you couldn't get that in everything he's saying, he's a man of faith and he lives in that principle. I just want to thank you. I've learned a lot from you, especially the importance of being letting our rhetoric match that action and getting for people that are starting out, make sure they get educated in that industry. Don't look over experience, you know, and say, oh, I want to go to school first at the expense of gaining experience that can help you get to where you are. And as you're even getting the education, balance that with skills, right? and get an utmost value in what you do and take pride in what you do. And at the end of the day, you want to live a life that goes like, yes, I gave it my best, and I made my environment better. I made people around me better, right? And how do you know that? You've had people working for you for the past 14 years. You're here in Canada, and your business is still in Nigeria. I know you went back home recently. They haven't carried your business away. You know, you can sleep at night. You don't have to keep looking at the CCTV, you know, of your business, wondering if any worker is stealing from you. That, for me, is peace of mind. This is why I refuse to be an entrepreneur in Nigeria. But thank you. This was really gold. And I think I'm going to bring you back. I don't know in what capacity, but you have to come back, because there's so much we can still explore. But yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast today. It was a lot. And my assistants, as you can see, they were hopping on the call. The group chat has been on fire. One of them has even offered to write a book for you for free. If you want somebody that can help you write your book, you have said something to see that in them. Yeah, if I shoot your shot. but you've set our group chat on fire, and they're like, wow, that there's so many things they didn't know, and you've really encouraged them. And these are really smart young Nigerians, so that's resonating with them. Just wanted to give you that feedback, which is why I feel like you have a target audience in those young Nigerians of just changing awesome. Narrative thank that we you. Have right now. So thank you so much, and many thanks to your wife, because I know she had to hold on to the fort while you were on the podcast for about 2 hours. And yeah, so thank you Chris, this was very meaningful, and I hope it was the same
thank you. And thank you so much. Firstly, I'll say thank you for bringing me. You know, I there's something I love that you did. I've known you to be doing this podcast for years. See, people, I want to say this so that people can understand. You can have a friend who is doing something. Don't go being entitled, saying, why haven't this person brought to me? Why haven't this person brought to me? It doesn't work like that. Okay? I've known Tolani now for at least as I've been married, yeah. 16 years. Okay? But I never for one day said, Prof, I'd like to speak in that. There's no need for those things. So what am I saying? In your relationship, drop all these entitlement expectations. Listen. Go and prove yourself in what you are doing. There will be a day when your inner circle will look and say, who is the perfect fit for this conversation? And they will pull from that resources. Do you understand? Celebrate people. Encourage people. Be their apostle that talk about what they are doing. They don't have to call you. They don't have to invite you. Okay? Because it's time and chance that is happening to all of us.
Yes.
Okay? So I had to say this so that people can stop placing over expectation on their friend as if you want to choke them. To let them be and do what they are called to do purposefully. So that's one. Secondly, I want to say a very big thank you for bringing me. For believing that I even have anything to offer.
Are you kidding me?
I want to say a very big thank you for the opportunity. Massive opportunity. Okay? And because we've known for years, you also allowed me to do what? To share from my heart. Okay? There was no inhibition or trying to polish anything. Okay? What I've said here is what it is. And that is what is going on. Okay, so I want to say a big thank you. Thank you to you and your team for the opportunity, and keep doing what you are doing. I already tell you every time, you're an inspiration. You're a pharmacist.
Me, inspiration. Look at you.
You are plenty things. So I want to say a very big thank you, and you are doing, see, Prof, I've always told you, personal level, you are doing well. That's all I would say.
Thank you. You're doing well.
You're amplifying the voice of what we know. And you're also helping. You see, this thing is very powerful. And that's why before I came for this meeting, when you told me, you know, since I followed you up, immediately you said this, I followed up.
Yes, and I thank you for that.
I understand what you are doing. And I wanted to speak in this meeting such that whenever anybody listens, they can take something home. So yeah, I didn't come mindless. I prayed about it and said, Lord, put words in my mouth that can help somebody out there. Okay? And that's why I'll go back again saying to you, I'm not building business with a mindset to transfer. to my own prodigy. Okay, I am building it to say
charity,
that if this is what I can contribute
to the society,
to this world, I will do it, and I'll do it with joy, and I will move on. Okay, so it's very important that we have this thing in mind, so that we are not myopic about what we are doing. So what we are doing is very powerful, and it's my utmost desire that God will stretch in your hands.
Amen.
And you continuously do well. And that's why whenever I see that we need to do the voting, I take it seriously.
Thank you.
I like to vote.
Keep elevating
Sibyl,
our voices. Yes, yes.
Sibyl.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone, for having me. And if Oluwa, my VA, the one that offered to be your writer, she's going to reach out to you, if that's okay.
Are you serious?
She's a good one. Because you have so many great gems, and hopefully that also helps. Because what you shared, I mean, this is just a slice of the, I'm sure you're not even going into all of the details of, you know, the things you've learned. It's been nice to capture those, and you know, for posterity's sake, keep moving those forward and hopefully make our country better. So on behalf of everyone, this was the episode with Chris. If you love this episode, there's plenty more where that came from. For those who might be interested in reaching out to you or learning more about your pest control business or ground movers, where can they find you?
Okay, you can send me an email. Let me say my email is info@groundmovers.ca.
Okay.
info@groundmovers.ca,
we'll,
or you can send me a personal email,
shimechris28@gmail.com.
That's anytime. Just say Mo Sibyl. Once you say, just reference my prof. Once you reference prof, I will answer you very well. Once it's so generic, it might take 2 years before my answer will come. I'm being honest.
You heard it from the host as well. Thanks a lot for honoring us, Chris. And well, I remain your host, Mosibo. Catch you guys on another episode of Mosibo Podcast. This has been part of our entrepreneurial series. And keep hustling. And hopefully you take a lot of the gems that Chris shared today in improving your business dynamics. See you guys later. Bye. Thanks a lot, Chris.